Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. What are you talking about?
Well, Eke, it is episode 144, and as promised, we are going to be having a deep conversation about Anita Hill.
Ooh, I'm interested to hear about Anita Hill.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the details and the deeds on Anita Hill, why she is so important. I watched a film about her starring Kerry Washington called Confirmation that just really inspired me to dig even deeper about who this Anita Hill is, why she is so important as just a woman and a person, a pioneer, about sexual harassment. And also, Clarence Thomas, we need to have a conversation about him, one of our Supreme Court justices, and there might be something that we can do to stop Clarence Thomas.
Cool. And I think we're also going to be talking about Colin Kaepernick, Nike, and some other stuff.
Yeah, we've got a buttload of things to talk about, so let's get into it.
Let's go. Hey, James.
Oh, hey, honey bunches of oats. I feel like I haven't talked
so
to you
delicious.
In ages. Well, you are delicious and nutritious. I could just om on you. That'd
you know,
be weird.
I get, yeah. But I will, actually, if I am Honey Bunches of Oats, do they have, is that fiber? No, there's no marshmallows in that one, I don't think.
Oh, I only eat marshmallow cereal deluxe.
How do you have teeth? You're just gumming on vitamins. Everything?
They got vitamins.
What
don't
type
all
of
the cereals?
Vitamin M for marshmallow?
Vitamin
sugar?
It's S, a vitamin.
Sugar vitamin. And
I feel like they have to, like, even Cookie Crisp has, like, some vitamins in it by accident. That, like, it picks up the iron from the iron tin that
probably
it's made in or something. Someone drops some vitamin C pills into it, and they're like, well, there that goes.
Oh, man. We've got to investigate this. Are sugar cereals still as sugary, or are they more, like, healthy now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like Michelle Obama went in there, and she was like, get it better.
Yeah, she wanted us all to be healthy in a fun, dancy Beyonce way.
Yes, which I just recently watched. Speaking of, look, it's like Flashback Friday coming at you like Cleopatra. Oh. He's got a lot of flashbacks in that sentence.
I know,
in
that
one
was
breath.
You dating yourself. You got to start updating your reference points.
Okay. Cricket, like Sierra and the Crickets.
Okay, that's a little bit more current. There you go.
Does Sierra still have a career?
Yes, she just had a song that came out recently.
Oh, haven't heard it. Anyways.
You need to be nice to black lady performers.
Oh, wait. I feel like I forget who, but you were coming for someone last week. So
Ruby Rose, who is not a black lady performer.
Okay. I couldn't remember who it was. All right. Fair enough. All right. Just remember there was Venom.
Yeah,
wait,
there was.
Oh,
I will not doubt that.
Last, I went to a YouTube poll, and
oh, those are easy to fall into, man. I have found myself in some weird ass YouTube holes where I'm like, what am I even looking at?
Somehow I was watching a clip of Beyonce surprising a group of high schoolers doing the Get Me Body
dance. That one's
fun
when she comes dancing in on the side.
She does, and she's in her stiletto heels and white pants. And the kids like have to keep dancing, but they just want to like hug her.
I know,
they're going
so excited.
Yeah. I don't, you know what? And I can't tell you how I got into that clip because I wasn't searching for it.
I know.
But I was watching it at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's those suggestions on the side. I don't know
and
who
they know you.
Is doing it, what the algorithm is, but they get you. You're like, sure, I'll watch that. And then you click it and then you go even deeper into something even weirder. That wasn't even the tip of weird. That's like,
yeah,
that's fun, reminiscent. We used to live in a nice country.
Oh yeah, I know, but it just gets you crazy. Like, I'm like, how did I even get there? Just have like no idea. Just like it's like a tangent, kind of like this conversation.
I know.
I don't
it's
know
basically
how we got to this point.
Our whole podcast is a YouTube hole.
Yeah, you just get
just
sucked
into
to, like
weird.
Where are
topics.
We going? Didn't know I wanted to hear this, but here we go.
We're recording this on Beyonce's birthday, by the way.
Oh, what was our countdown? She was like 4, 3, 2, 1 B-Day. Remember
Probably.
Her B-Day album?
Of course.
That was about her birthday, on her
wild.
Birthday, for her birthday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I'm surprised she isn't doing anything big today. But you know what? She has 3 kids now. She's probably tired.
Yeah. She's like, yeah. She's like, this is my life. I'm tired today.
I've been on she's tour. Like, I got three kids. Two of them are twins.
Oh, that's a lot. I know. Could you imagine?
No. Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Like, I don't want
Yuck.
To.
No so offense. I mean, news? Twins are great, you guys. I love you guys out there who are with twins or are a twin or has children as twins. But
anyways, what's in the news today?
I don't know if you've heard, but Colin Kaepernick and Nike have struck a deal.
Oh, damn it. I missed the opportunity for you to say, I don't know if you heard, and I would have said... About the word.
Oh, bird, bird, birds, birds,
bird,
the word.
Bird's the word, yeah.
Well, we did it anyways. There you go.
Okay, great. Because that came up on my YouTube as well recently.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah. Oh, wait. I highly suggest everybody go down to YouTube of late 90s, early 2000s videos.
Ooh.
That's a good
yes,
hole
since
to go
MTV's
down.
Not playing it. Exactly. Like, you got to do it.
You got to do it on YouTube. It's all there.
It's up to you. You are the MTV of your own life. YouTube.
Okay, so... People are upset, and by people, I mean bigots.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you, like, highlighted that. That's always good to know when someone comes out and they're like, well, people don't like this when there's all these black people on TV. You mean bigots. Yeah. I love a little transparency and honesty when we're having our conversations, so let's call it what it is.
I'm calling it what it is. So basically the campaign... is it's Colin Kaepernick's face, and it's black and white, and it says believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything, just do it.
That is a beautiful campaign.
Yes.
I all the snaps,
all the snaps, all the snaps to Nike. So he's the I'll get into the complicatedness of it, but
because Nike makes some of their stuff in
sweatshops
prisons.
And child laborers and in prison
and prisons and, so you get, I'm not going to give you all the snaps.
Not all the
Nike,
snaps.
I'm going to give you like two or three.
Yeah, exactly. All right. You know what? I'm glad you made this bold move. I think it's good.
Yeah.
I also think that you were kind of hoping for a little controversy with this too, but I'm glad that you're on the right side of history with the controversy. I think that that's
unlike
a smart
Pepsi,
play.
You remember when they were like, we're going to get political. And they, what was it? One of the Jenners?
Yeah,
and they
it
had
was
her leading
Kendall
like a Black
Jenner.
Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter protest.
But it
or
wasn't
something,
a black. It
a
was
Pepsi.
Just like a. It was a generic ass protest that was just like.
Okay.
And they had signs that was like, start the conversation, and then she like gives a cop a generic cop a Pepsi. It was stupid.
Oh, yeah.
This one actually...
They quickly pulled that out.
Yeah, they
down,
did.
So.
Oh, yeah. Because everybody was like, what the hell is this? This is actually standing up for, like, a real cause. And he did essentially lose, you know, everything because fucking NFL are cowards. It's just, like, it's so dumb. Just to reiterate, the reason Colin Kaepernick started the whole kneeling...
Is it Kaepernick or Kaepernick?
I don't know.
Okay.
Kaepernick?
Colin, I think it's Kaepernick.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So, Kaepernick basically started kneeling at the football during the Star Spangled Banner or whatever the fuck, you know, the flag.
Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance. Look at the flag and salute it. Look at that flag.
America time during the football games.
Yes.
As a way to point towards the injustice that's happening towards black lives matters. Like, basically, black people are being killed by police officers. We know this. Like, that was one of his main purposes of it. He's not against the flag, dum-dums.
Yeah. Peaceful protest, which is, like, what all these bigots and white people be asking. They're like, why can't they do it peacefully?
Right.
And they're doing that. And I will also point out that, like, every time there's been a silent, peaceful protest throughout history, we like to look at things with rose-colored glasses.
Right.
That even when there were silent protests, like, you know, when they were walking across the bridge.
Got
or
beat
trying,
up.
When they were doing, and it wasn't just Rosa Parks that sat on a bus and wouldn't give up her seat.
There's
like
a ton of people.
They were upset by that. A ton of people did. And, like, a lot of times people think, like, sorry to hijack the story, but people think that, like, Rosa Parks was this, like, old,
oh, Oh no, she was young.
Sad lady. She was just. It was. They picked her purposely to like do because it. It was very purposeful.
A dark skinned black woman did it before on her own and got no publicity for it. So they picked Rosa Parks because she was younger and light skinned and would be better for the press. And guess what? The press bit and ate it up.
They ate it up. Yep. So disappointed. Yep. And then there were people who were upset because she like that she did what she did. It was a peaceful protest. Right. So just pointing that out.
And I also want to point out too. I was very purposeful by saying bigots and not like a group of people because it isn't just white people. I've heard I've heard Latino people, Latinx people, I've heard Asian people, I've heard even black people.
I'm sure there's talk some black of, yeah, people
who have been against this kneeling for the flag because they're not educated properly or they just hate black people. Let's just face it. So the stupidity of it all is now that Nike has announced that Colin Kaepernick is the face of the Just Do It campaign, they have started cutting the Nike swooshes off of their clothing and their socks, and they've started burning their sneakers.
Oh my God.
Which is so stupid because you already bought it, dumbass. Nike doesn't give a shit.
They're like, cool. And then you have to go to the store and go buy some new Nikes and then cut out those swooshes again. Right, so, like, joke's on you.
Yeah, dumbass.
What else are you going to... I mean, what are the other... because you're buying Reeboks, now you're supporting England. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, is it... Nike's an American company, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's... isn't it Phil Knight? No, it's not Phil Knight.
It is because, you know what, recently over in Europe, they have, since Trump got elected, they used to love wearing Nikes or Nikes as some, as they call it in Europe and over in England.
Yeah.
They've actually switched and now they're wearing, a lot of Adidas.
Oh.
They're the German brand. So just throwing, their own protests. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm neutral. I'm not about to go out and buy Nike because, one, I don't have the money for it, and, two, I don't exercise. But, three, they also have – they need to, like, start looking into their labor practices as well.
Yes. You know, totally. Like – this is a good step in the right direction. Yes. But also look at, like, how are you producing these things.
Right. You're not absolved of everything that you've been doing, giant corporation. But I also think that people really – like, it's really dumb to me. I'm really over people not understanding the NFL protests. Like, I'm over it.
And I also do appreciate because, you know, Colin, like, not only is he not being able to do the thing that he loves to do, his, you know, universally given talent that he's, you know, what he's supposed to be doing, just because he was peacefully protesting and he's losing out on his own ability to make money.
Right.
And so I'm so glad that, you know, Nike or Nike, which depending on which country you're in or listening to and how you pronounce it,
into this Euro thing. You know, majority of our listeners are American.
We have European listeners, so hello to you. Hola, bonjour, hello. That was my British hello.
Yikes, I don't know if they okay, anyways. Go
ahead. I just, because he's lost out on like a lot of money, and so this is a great way, I think, like, to reverse some of that.
Oh, he's getting a ton of money. I think he's getting like one of the top multi-billion-dollar deals that they give. That's so
fantastic.
Fuck,
and I
think
I heard something else. I know Sean King recently posted something on Instagram. I forget. Mm-hmm. It was something in regards to this, and it wasn't Nike. It was something about Colin Kaepernick. I don't know if there's. I'm not fact-checking that. I don't know. I think – I don't know if there's, like, a lawsuit going against the NFL or something in regards to Colin. Hmm. I don't know.
I don't know.
Something happened. Check Sean King's Instagram for more details.
I mean, that's just good practice in general. Sean King is very good.
He's great. Aneke.
Yes.
Can we – I went to the movies, and I saw a riveting documentary.
Ooh, tell me about it.
About – it's called Whitney.
Ooh, so you saw that one.
And it's in, I saw it. I went to the theaters. It was playing in like, it's been going for a while, so it was hard to find. There was like one theater playing it for like a weekend. Mm. It was amazing. Yeah. You think you know, but you have no idea. This is the real life documentary of Whitney Houston. It, like, I thought I knew Whitney, and I am someone who I've made many a joke over the last decade or so about her.
I know.
Not so much on this podcast. I used to love the Mad TV sketches about her.
Right.
I then watched that documentary and I was like, Oh, damn.
Okay, good. Oh, you know what? It's always good to learn. I watched another documentary on that HBO did, so that's I'm kind of like taking I might watch the other one with a little bit of space because it's like heartbreaking.
Well, this one, I will tell you this, though, about this one. Mm-hmm. The difference between this one and that one, this one and that one.
Yeah. It's Sesame Street all this one.
This one is backed by the Whitney Houston estate, which I find fascinating because they let it all out there.
Oh, they did.
And so they're all in it. Her mother, Bobby Brown, her brothers, her aunts, they are all in it. So it is fascinating. It is fascinating. And I'm gonna share with you what someone shared with me before I saw it, and it didn't spoil the documentary for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I share this with you?
Share
it
with
I think
me.
It's so important.
Strangely, I don't mind being spoiled for documentaries.
Okay. Documentary. Okay.
Because
cool.
actually happened. So I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know?
You could find that out. Yeah, totally. And if anything, like, and still, like, I knew this information going in and then witnessing it, it was like a whole other level because then you're seeing the story and there are audio clips of her and her family telling it and just like it puts the whole package together. It was a riveting, you know, sometimes documentaries are like boring and slow. This one I could have watched it for another hour or two.
Wow,
so
I love it. I love a good riveting. Doc. I'm a fanatic for documentaries.
So a few things about Whitney Houston that I think and why she's so apropos for this podcast. One,
yes.
She, I don't know if this was in your Showtime documentary.
HBO,
but
excuse you, get my Paytime things.
Oh, okay. I thought I was on Showtime. Sorry.
Premium.
You're like, ew, not Showtime.
I would say HBO is a little bit above Showtime.
It is. I mean, what are the hit shows on Showtime? Go. Just see something.
Power? And on Stars.
I always think it's so interesting. Like, how does HBO have all these, like, hit shows, and then Showtime is just, like, trying?
I know, they keep trying. You know, Showtime is better than Stars and Encore. I will say that.
They don't, yeah, but they don't got no power. I haven't seen it, but I want to. Whitney.
Yes.
She had a female lover.
Yes.
Robin.
Yes.
And so then I'm putting the clues together. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So there's already that. So she's this torn. She can't be with who she really wants to be.
That's in the HBO one.
Okay. Yeah. How about this?
Okay.
The drug addiction.
Yes.
The drug addiction, which actually, even though you knew that, I don't know our listeners knew. So just to pause on that, like, so this whole entire time, like look at what that does to someone's life when they can't fully be themselves.
And it's
right?
for a long time, extended amount of time she was with Robin.
With
Robin, 20 plus years.
Yeah, Robin was her go-to person, and she was getting a lot of shade from her family about that. Mm-hmm. And, like, she couldn't publicly, I mean, y'all, this isn't, like, today, where you can have, like, you know, and it's why, like, I look at, like, man, it's amazing that Janelle Monáe is able to fully be herself in today's age, because 20 years ago wouldn't have been the case, right?
And I would even argue to say it's still kind of tough now, because who is, like, I feel like a lot of people, I don't know. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so hard. And Janelle Monáe is still, like, paving the way.
Right. And still being a little cryptic about it, though, too. She hasn't said anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the documentary, they said Whitney is what you would call, like, today's word, she'd be called, like, sexually fluid.
Ah, yeah. Okay, so then she would be definitely more like a Janelle Monáe.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Other thing is, and this is like a big one, her drug addiction started way earlier than any of us thought it did.
Yeah.
Way earlier. Yep. Like, she had weed and cocaine at the age of 16.
Like, she introduced it to Bobby Brown.
Yes, which is like first I'm like, but what?
I know.
And then I'm like, oh, that's why he's still alive.
Because he was like... fake bad boy almost. And Whitney's like, let me show you the real shit.
And like, it was like, in her brothers were also had, like, you know, they were like, everyone was on the payroll.
Yeah, it was rough.
And her dad was like a crook essentially. And she was just a bankroll for him.
Yep.
At one point he was like suing her because she had signed this contract and he wasn't getting anything of it. And he was suing her for like $100 million.
How do you do that to your child?
So you're also have that going on too, that you're like trying to be in the public limelight, and she, so there's all that stuff that's happening too. And then the thing that really sets all of this in motion is that she was molested as a young girl.
Oh, see, they didn't talk about that in the HBO one.
She was molested. Ugh, and then you're awful. Like, oh, that's
poor Whitney.
Now connect all those dots.
And then
right?
Did they talk about how the black community shunned her?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Al Sharpton called her Whitney,
like,
and she thought people were
charged.
Like, at the, she got booed at the Soul
yeah,
Train
she,
Awards.
What the fuck? That's so rude.
Yeah. And so then you have, like, I mean, look at all of that identity mm-hmm. crisis. Molested at a young age. You have attraction to a woman, but, like,
you can't show it.
You can't show it. Your brother thinks that, you know, lesbians are the devil because he was also molested. Her brother was also molested. And then you're not accepted by the black community.
Right.
You're in the line, like, pressure to be this
perfect.
Success and to be perfect, to be this image. Mm-hmm. And you're turning to drugs to try to heal. I look at Whitney Houston as someone who is in living hell.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
She was living in hell. She was suffering for, like, most of her entire life.
I feel so much for Whitney. And I'm so glad these documentaries came out, because it's almost like... It's like you're exposing her truth, which is in some ways a little voyeuristic, but at the same time, it really enlightens what she's went through and why she, it's so tragic, and how even today, fucking mm-hmm. Kanye and Pusha T put her drug-strewn bathroom counter as his cover, Pusha T's cover for his album. Even today, they're exploiting her life. Like, fuck you guys. Like, that's disgusting to me. Like, support black women.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, too, it's like there was a point, her and Michael Jackson had a really close relationship.
Probably a lot of insight for each other.
They would go into each other's hotel room and just sit in silence and just be, because they understood each other, what they were going through. And it made me, like, seeing those two, how much, like, we as a society, and I remember feeling the same way when I watched I, Tonya. Mm. We just get the pitchforks for people. We build people up and we tear them down. We need to roll that back. If there is a celeb, like, you know, like, unless someone's doing something that's, like, racist, sexist, homophobic.
Yes, sexophobic.
You know, just, like... being terrible to other human beings. If you don't like them, then that's fine. You don't need to be vocally out there booing someone because you don't like their music, like, or you don't like their talent or something.
They're
like,
people.
Leave that alone. They're people and they're human beings, and we need to. It's hard what it is that they're doing, and some of them are just suffering through things. And but she did. Her mother had venom for Janet Jackson. There is a clip with
Her mother is a piece of work.
Sissy Houston, who used to be a backup singer for Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
Rest in peace, Aretha.
Yeah, rest in peace.
And also, it made me realize that, like, Whitney Houston, like, we think some people are just born with this talent. And yes, she was born with the talent, but her mother worked that voice.
Oh, yeah.
They were up
training
every morning. It was like, and so I think it's also important to look at, like, people, like, if you've got a talent, you gotta work at that. Like, Michael, like, think about, like, Michael Jordan. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of his because he invests in, like, private prisons.
Listen to our podcast about it.
But, like, he's the first one at the basketball court. He was training and drilling at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's like,
I mean, look at Beyonce. Her father drilled her when she was a little kid. They would, like, run laps in the morning and have them sing. Like,
Yeah, so it just also, like, the work ethic that you have to have to go at that level. So it's like, you've got a talent and a dream. Like, talent is not enough. You've got to fucking work.
But also take care of yourself, though, too, because we see what happens with some people when they burn out. You know.
Absolutely. But it was inspiring to, like, also just know, I don't know, I think some people just think, like, oh, well, they're just so lucky, or they're, you know, people, they fucking, you know, work the shit out of it.
Yeah, it takes work to get to that level. Like, oh man. You know, like, the craziest thing about the whole Whitney Houston story is how young she was.
Yes, she died at, what, 48?
Something like
46?
It, like, she had a comeback tour. And I remember her comeback tour when she sang that song, It's Not Right, But It's Okay.
Yeah.
Remember that? And it was, like, her coming back in the, like, early 2000s. She was, like, 35.
At her comeback.
Yes. Like, isn't that nuts? Like,
but then she was doing her last tour that they ended up having canceled. It was people were walking out because she was, I mean, she was a mess.
I know,
like,
that's sad.
But she was high. And
but isn't that crazy to think that you have accomplished so much where you can go away and have a comeback at 35?
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts.
It's also crazy, too, because it's like, talking about the black community, it's like weird because it's like at one point they hated her, but then they owned. And then it was like they were like, oh, no, just kidding. Yeah. So like that's a yo-yo of feeling. And like she just didn't understand it. She had to go to her parents put her in Catholic school because she was getting bullied by the black kids in her neighborhood in New Jersey. Also, she like right around the time, like how connected to Whitney Houston is just like to history. Like she was in where were the New Jersey riots happening?
Oh, I forget.
We talked about it here on the podcast, but the riots that were happening in, was it Watts? The Watts riots?
No, that's L.A.
Okay. Well, I forget. We talk about it in the podcast. Mm-hmm. But the documentary starts right as those riots are happening. Like, Whitney was, like, born into all that.
Fascinating.
But they had to... They moved her out of regular school because she was getting, you know, picked on because she was lighter skinned by the other kids. And then as an adult to still get picked on.
Yeah. That's disheartening. Like, what the hell? Like, we need to stop policing what is black and what isn't black. You can be black and be whatever the fuck you are as long as you are from African descent. You're black.
Yeah,
and we need
black.
To just accept that and let that be that.
Let it be, because it comes in many different shades, forms, and colors.
Right. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston.
Rest in peace. I have, you know, the power of documentaries. Thank you for the people who have been putting these documentaries out,
so
because,
good.
Like, the same thing. After I saw I, Tanya, I was like, okay, no more Tanya Harding jokes. And for me, no more Whitney Houston jokes. I did not know. I had no idea.
Whitney,
I thought I knew,
but
didn't know.
You had to learn.
I had no idea.
Whitney Houston was my first major heartbreak celebrity death.
Oh.
Yeah, because I grew up listening to her. We played her all the time. My black household loved Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I grew up listening to Whitney Houston. Like, pretty much every single decade, there was some Whitney Houston. And, you know, her dying to me was just so tragic. And her music is just so beautiful. And her voice is just so pure.
It's chill. I got chills. Like, when she sings, you just get these chills. Also, The Bodyguard was revolutionary.
Oh, yeah. Interracial
Live. I didn't even think about that. Like, and Kevin Costner talks about how there's that moment when she runs, spoiler alert, she runs for The Bodyguard.
20-year spoiler alert.
She runs out of the plane and she runs to him and she kisses him.
Yeah.
And the camera like goes around him and he was like, wow, this is like one of the first times this moment has ever happened in a big, you know, romantic movie. This romantic moment has never been seen before like this.
Right.
And that was Whitney Houston paving the way.
I know. Whitney Houston doing it. A lot of people don't give her credit for that. She actually was a pretty good actress.
She was okay.
I would say that she's on par with Holly Berry. And can Holly Berry hold a tune?
Whoa. Okay. Oh, we're about to close this segment and you try to end it like that?
What?
We will circle back to that.
I didn't say that Holly Berry was a bad actress. I just said she's on par with Whitney Houston.
No. She's on par with like Megan Good.
See, now you're throwing people under the bus now.
So now you're saying Megan Good's not an actress, a good actress.
I didn't say that she was or wasn't. I'm just pointing out that you don't think that Megan Good is a good actress.
I know. I just think that I think she's a very talented actress.
Maybe that means that I think that Whitney Houston is a talented actress.
I think that she's a good actress. I don't know. I think Hallie's put in the work. I think, like, there's losing Isaiah, she's dope at. Like, there's a lot of roles that she was not right for.
Okay, all right.
But, like, what's that movie where she plays a crackhead?
Jungle Fever?
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's great in it.
She's okay. I mean, I love Halle Berry.
Flintstones.
You're not
she was great in that. She played Sharon Stone,
and
then fast forward later, she beat Sharon Stone in Catwoman.
I'm just saying, I like Halle Berry. You've talked some stuff about Halle Berry, about how she's a nice lady.
I just would not put... She is. I just would not put her on the same par as Whitney Houston. I think Whitney Houston could get there, but I just wouldn't, you know...
Wow. Surprising.
Well, can we...
Yeah, let's get to your corner.
Well, just, we're on a roll about black women, and I want to talk about a certain black woman who deserves our conversation.
Me?
We're talking about... we'll get to you a little bit later. Well, maybe you could play her in the sequel.
Oh,
we're going to talk about Anita Hill.
Okay, let's do it. All right.
This is Mirror Universe Adam Pranica here to tell you not to listen to The Greatest Discovery on MaximumFun.org.
This is Mirror Universe Ben Harrison uncharacteristically agreeing with you despite the fact that you are my enemy.
The one thing that you must never do is enjoy our bit of off-season Star Trek Discovery programming where we talk about the first season of Star Trek Discovery while at the same time unpacking news and information about the upcoming season 2. So do not tune in and download The Greatest Discovery on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And rate it 1 star on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
And as an actress conversation.
Okay.
Because we were just offline and you brought up a very good point. Well, first of all, I said, when was the last time you watched it? The Bodyguard.
The Bodyguard. And it's been a minute. It has been a minute since I've seen that.
It's like when I think about like Ninja Turtles Part 2, I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing. And then I go back and I watch it and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I was 8 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you that. But also, I brought up Preacher's Wife.
And she was good in The Preacher's Wife. But also, it's been a minute since I've seen that.
That's true. But you also brought up Waiting to Exhale.
And she was great in that. But it's also been a minute since I've seen that. I think I was watching The Bodyguard recently and I was like, oh, okay.
Maybe I need to revisit. But I feel like for a minute she was doing some acting.
I bet she grows. And her last film that she did, Sparkle, I haven't seen it, but it looked like she was having a good time on the set.
You know what? I'm not even gonna touch Sparkle.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that one was a good one or not.
Well, that was her that was like the last thing she did before she died.
Oh yeah, that's right. She was in she was in the Cinderella movie with Brandy.
She played her godmother. She was rocking it in that. So like I'm not saying she wasn't great. I just remember The Bodyguard specifically. I was like, okay. Okay, it was her first film. But we were gonna talk about her last week, but there was just I didn't want to rush us through Anita Hill.
So now we're gonna take our time.
And yeah, we're gonna take our time through her. So I watched how I got onto this Anita Hill kick is I watched Cleopatra Johnson. No, Cleopatra
Confirmation.
Jones. No. Confirmation.
Which is on premium channel HBO.
Are you making money from them?
Because no, that is the third just, time you know,
that you have
mentioned
it. And that is true, because I just got HBO Go recently too, and it has changed my life. Are we making money from HBO?
We should be. They got enough money.
We do talk about their shows a lot.
And high production value on their shows.
They do. Although Tangent City, well, maybe we'll get to this a little bit later. I think it connects what we're gonna talk about.
Okay.
I'll bring it up later if there's time. I was watching Confirmation starring Kerry Washington.
Yes.
And I have to say, if you've got HBO Go, go watch Confirmation. Go HBO, go watch it. See what I did there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice pun. And also, an actress we can both get behind.
Yes, that's true. You know what? We come
we
to the table.
We both love a Kerry Washington.
We come to the table at Kerry Washington.
Yes,
we do. We're like, okay. And you know what? I will say this about Kerry Washington. She, like, it's a movie that you're... It's very hard to play a fictional person, I would say. And she...
You mean...
A real person. Yes.
Anita Hill is very much still alive.
She's very much very real.
Yes.
I find it fascinating because she plays Anita Hill, and I think she's still in the middle of shooting Scandal. I think she had like one more season of Scandal left while she was shooting this. And also snaps to Kerry Washington because she helped produce this film. And again, the importance of like, she would have never been able to produce this very, very important film and tell this very important story had she not been picked up for Scandal, had Scandal not happened. And again, Scandal was the first time that we had a black female in a leading drama since like the 60s. So history is happening. And now the importance of storytelling, because this story, like, I did not know a lot about Anita Hill. I knew side pieces, but this story really put it out into piece. And it's a really great story that just sort of shows all aspects of the conversation happening. Real life people like Joe Biden is in this film.
Who played Joe Biden?
I forget, but the guy, I've seen him before, and he does a really good Joe Biden.
Okay.
You're like, oh, that's Joe Biden. I see you. Ted Kennedy. A lot of, like, senators and stuff who are still up in the politics game. And how involved they were with Anita Hill and the confirmation of Clarence Thomas, who is still alive and is still a Supreme Court justice. And we're going to get to him and the problems with Clarence Thomas and how we actually might be able to fix it today. But,
I love that.
So, but Kerry Washington, back to her and giving her all the snaps. She's so talented because Anita Hill is not... what's her name? Olivia Pope. Oh, my God.
Yeah, different.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot her name. Like, our beloved.
Well, you remembered it. You remembered it.
Okay.
It didn't take you that long.
Okay. I got scared for myself. I was going to cry.
You're doing okay.
Okay.
You're doing okay.
A lot of names. Clarence, Anita, Adina, Adina Howard, Freak Like Me. There's a lot.
Adina Howard always manages to make her way into your corners. I don't know how.
You started this because one time I was talking about someone really important and I was like, Adina. And you're like, oh yeah, Adina Howard, Freak Like Me. I was like, no. And it was something like really, I forget one of the episodes. Rewind the tape.
Well, you know, she's a fun name to pop up.
She is. Anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, but Kerry Washington does such a phenomenal job of just really bringing Anita Hill to life because she's such a different person than Olivia Pope. So just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to see this because I watched the documentary on Anita Hill, and Anita Hill is distinct in the type of person that she is.
She's very distinct, very like kind of subtle, well-spoken, very just like, not like, I mean like well-spoken as in like... Every word that she says...
I would say she's kind of purposeful and nerdy.
That's what I was going to say. Like, that's what I meant to say. Like every word is perfectly chosen in the way that she speaks. You know? I'm like, Olivia Pope is like, I will kill you. I am Olivia Pope. Give me that baby. Fix it. Fix it. Do something. See, this is off the cop. And, like, uses her hands a lot. And not Anita Hill. She's just very... So...
Right.
All that to say, so it's about 25 years ago that Anita Hill, and you've watched the documentary, so you feel free to chime in too, because in case I miss something. Not that you need my permission.
You're driving the boat. Driving the boat.
And you're hanging out, drinking
I'm here.
Drinking a little, I don't know, Pepsi?
Salsa water? I don't know.
Salsa water?
Boring
can't really
right
drink,
now.
But, you know, because,
Soon.
So, 25 years ago, so she was a University of Oklahoma law professor, and she's a private citizen, and she testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee, who Clarence Thomas was being nominated for the Supreme Court. And
which is happening currently,
which
too.
So that's happening. And... like, by Anita Hill stepping forward, it threw a giant monkey wrench into a well-oiled machine of an old boys' club sort of a thing. Also, keep in mind, there's not a lot of women in politics right now, not a lot of at this point.
This is the late 80s.
Yeah.
Early 90s? Early 90s.
I know I'm driving the ship here, but... Oh, it was 1991. Sorry. 1991.
Early 90s.
1991. So I was like, oh, I should know this. I got it. Here it is. 1991. I was like, how do I not have this in my notes? There's not a lot of women in Congress, too, at this point. And so before this, if there was someone who was to be nominated, like, it would just be... They would just... There would not be a... There wasn't a lot of attention from... Like, we did not see a lot of... the things that were happening in these, you know, hearings and things like that. There wasn't a lot of, someone's nominated, they pretty much went through. And so this was sort of a big deal. And this is one of the first faces of sexual harassment in the workplace that because of Anita Hill, which we'll get to, new laws were passed. And I like to point this out because I think, again, so much of feminism has a very white face to it. And we need to be looking at Anita Hill as one of the pioneers of sexual harassment laws and feminism, and also just against sexual harassment laws that they affect, you know, men as well. So
all the snaps,
all the snaps to her. And she was working. So how did this all happen? Well, she was, she had worked for Clarence Thomas at the Department of Education. And then she had also, worked for him at the EEOC, which I guess is also the Federal Sexual Harassment Watchdog. So ironic.
Really?
Sexual harassed there.
Oh God. I forgot about that.
So she had testified against, and she didn't want to, it's not like she sought this out. People had heard some some a journalist had heard that there were rumblings that something had happened, mm-hmm. and they had approached her, and she, it's not like she sought out any of this. She had been approached. And so there's a lot of things that, oh, she was attention seeking and all
that
sort of stuff.
Yeah, that bullshit that they put on her.
And she wasn't. All she wanted to do was to get all the facts out there and let, and have a fair confirmation and let the, and let the people be able to hear all the facts before this man was going to be sworn into a very, very high office that is supposed to have integrity to it.
And a life appointment.
A life appointment, yeah.
So I think that's very noble of her.
She testified before Congress, and again, it was all white, all male panel of senators, and I mean, it's brutal. They fucking gruel her. And what happened was, is how did Clarence Thomas even come about, is that Thurgood Marshall was stepping down from the Supreme Court.
An amazing man.
Amazing man. And George Bush was like, well, I'll just throw up. He was like, wasn't just throwing up another black guy. Yes, he was.
Yes,
he chose Clarence Thomas, who, like, the black community, they were not for Clarence Thomas. They were
no, because he sucks.
He sucks. He
and
actually
has continued
that in my notes.
To suck. Up until now.
He does not hold a lot of, I think, the same sort of, and not that all black people think alike, but he doesn't hold up the same sort of, I think, values and progress that a lot of us try to champion.
He's a strong-ass conservative, yeah. Rude person.
Yep. And it's funny, though, like, again, he used race when it was convenient for him.
Yep.
When he was up there for his confirmation, when he was being questioned, you know, he pretty much told them that it was like a modern day like lynching. And
gross. Why
them's be strong words.
See, he's gross. Just yeah. The fact that he would say some shit like that with all the connotations behind it. Replacing Thurgood Marshall,
yeah,
who was such a champion of civil rights.
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you, Clarence Thomas.
So
yuck.
these confirmation hearings were aired. This is 1981. They were aired like day on TV. And so this is like, again, it kind of reminded me of the O.J. Simpson trial, because it was like before we had reality television, you know? So it was like a rating. Like people were like,
I remember.
Glued to this. It was shutting off my Disney afternoon. It was shutting off my TGIF.
I completely remember this.
And also it was like, I mean, it was very, it was the language that's used. Like, you know, I'm Anita Hill. She talks about the pornography that he was like saying he watches certain kinds of graphic pornography.
Which is like some gross, dude.
Involving like animals and just like his domineering sexual prowess, which is not appropriate
yuck.
For the workplace, and that he made a comment, and this is like the most famous thing that he said. He's like, "Who put a pubic hair on my
right.
Coke can?"
Right? Why is that the only thing that I remember?
Who put this pubic hair on my Coke can? Which like
gross?
What a wackadoo! Okay, crazy. And so like
and he's making decisions for this whole fucking country.
Yes, and he would ask her to hang out outside of the work. Workplace and
yuck.
It's just like a lot of like inappropriate sort of stuff. And so before this, there weren't any strict laws about this. There was, you know, there were certain like sexual harassment laws. I think like if it was like you were trying to date someone and then you fired them, but if you were making an uncomfortable workspace, there were no laws around that. And she was also, you know, they tried her because, you know, they called into question her character.
Oh my God.
They
are so disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, I have here that Thomas routinely harassed her, made sexual comments about his penis and watching porn.
Yuck.
Like ones with long dong silver, films with women having sex with women, and his own sexual prowess, and talked about
what
women.
What is wrong
and
with this man?
Women's, their colleagues' bodies. And again, who put this pubic hair in my Coke can?
And now he's a part of the highest court of the land.
And
this disgusting, gross gremlin man.
And during these hearings, Hill, they were hostile towards her. They were acting like that, and like they were acting like she was on trial, and that's not what this was. They put her on trial, and they grilled her. They did not grill Thomas. It was a lot of politicking that was happening. They made graphic questions about her sex life. They said that she suffered from erotomania. It was a crazy PR conservative blitz that the Republicans had towards her, and the Democrats didn't do a lot of anything. Joe Biden
Biden was kind of bad too, right?
And he was the chief. He was the head of the committee, and it didn't really step up to the plate, and Ted Kennedy didn't really say anything because Ted Kennedy couldn't really say anything at the time because he was being accused of, he had weird sexual things happening in his own past, so he couldn't really step up and say anything.
People, stop it.
Yeah. Well, and there were four women who wanted to testify and would have been subpoenaed to corroborate Hill's story, but they didn't subpoena them.
Oh my God.
So there's a lot of this sort of like politics that were happening. Again, they're used to this well-oiled machine, and here comes Anita Hill. And she had like people backing her. She had a team of people that were representing her and helping her through this process. She was not given a lot of time to prepare for this and to get all of her witnesses together. It was like a railroad sort of situation. They tried to paint her as slutty and nutty. And the crazy thing is, Aneke,
yes,
7 out of 10 Americans believe that she lied.
7 out of 10 believe she lied.
We do not believe black women.
We do not. It's
if she were white, history shows that if she was a white woman accusing this black man, he would not have been.
Oh, he would have been dead.
Dead in the water. Been murdered, been actually lynched. And so, but here's the good thing. I mean, not here's the good thing, but what came out of this crate, and I highly recommend watching Confirmation and just sucking up this information about Anita Hill, because I think she's such an important part of our history, and she, let's get some statues of this woman erected instead of like Robert E. Lee. Like, she is a pillar,
exactly,
and a monument, and should be celebrated. Her testimony prompted an avalanche of sexual harassment complaints. It inspired progressive women and men to strengthen anti-harassment measures and challenge assumptions that racial solidarity trumps gender solidarity. So... the effects that came out, and then a record amount of women were elected to Congress in 1992 after her testimony.
Oh, good. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a follow-up about Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah. He's my next point of topic, but yes.
Oh, okay. Then you can – you'll probably cover it then.
Well, also just like to wrap up this thing about Anita Hill, and I just want to mention something about Biden, and I want to talk about Clarence Thomas. And black women are – you know, they've been challenged to – choose race over gender or gender over race, depending
all
on
all the fucking time.
Yeah, who they're standing with. And you know, this is what Anita Hill was being challenged by some people within the community, that like, although people didn't like Clarence Thomas, black people did not like that a black woman was challenging this black, because of the scrutiny that black men get so much, and it was so public. So it kind of felt like airing the absolutely that she was betraying her race by just trying to speak up for this wrongdoing that had happened
after being treated disgustedly by someone who's supposedly her superior at work.
And people are like, well, why did she work with him at two different locations? And they're like, well, why did you continue, working with him?
Put the blame on her.
And it's like, people don't understand the psychological ramifications of a situation like that. And two, working like in a job space, like, you kind of take the work where it is. And I'm sure she probably thought that like, okay, this won't happen again. Or there's a lot of different stories that like, you know, might happen. This was 1991. It's not that easy
to
get a job. And she's also a black woman. And she also believes in the places that she wants to work at. So,
and even still, I don't like that argument, because it who cares what her excuse is? It's putting the blame back on her.
When it should
be.
Yeah.
Why was he acting this way?
Why was he doing that? Absolutely. She has a book out called Reimagining Equality: Stories of Gender, Race, and Finding Home. Biden. I thought Biden is so fascinating. He also apparently had a toothache to the entire thing. I just bring that up because in the movie he had a toothache and he needed to get a tooth removed. And it's just a very, very fascinating plot point. And it's so interesting that there's two women who are really who are very involved in this behind the scenes too. Joe Biden's female aide and Ted Kennedy's female aide. And so it's again, these other people in politics, these unsung heroes. And Ted Kennedy's aide was the one that was really driving the force of like getting Anita Hill to be there at the confirmation hearing. She was the one that pushed, Senator Joe Biden's aide to push Biden to even allow Anita Hill to be on there. So there's these women who are working behind the scenes who were really trying to do the right thing.
Good? Yeah. That's good. That's
so
good.
Joe Biden has recently apologized.
Okay, yeah. That's
he apologized in Teen Vogue.
Yeah, which I think is very Teen Vogue. They've been doing some good reporting.
I just read that. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, they're on top of it, actually. Whoever's in charge of Teen Vogue now, I believe it used to be this woman named Elaine Wentworth. I could be wrong, but okay. She was a black woman. But she stepped down recently, but they're still doing like innovative, great things. Where it's like, they're like, we're doing more than just fucking how to do your hair and makeup. We're doing that, but we're also talking politics. We're also talking like issues.
Which is like, I mean, fast forward 20 years from now, and these young women who were reading Teen Vogue, and they're just, you know, being rock stars.
It's
so
beautiful.
He said that he apologizes that he wasn't able to tone.
Or young men,
young men too. You know, Teen Vogue for everybody, or gender non-binary. It's just you know, everybody be doing it. He said that he apologized that he wasn't able to tone down the attacks on her by some of the Republicans, and you know, he regrets it. He said that he did always believe her.
Good.
But his critics are like, but you didn't call the witnesses that could corroborate her. And there was another woman who had sexual harassment claims and who played by Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer
J-Hyde.
Acting work.
She played Angela Wright, where she was subpoenaed to come down there. And then they had her in D.C. and then they turned her away at the last minute. And she's like, but what? I mean, honestly, Joe Biden's got some ground to make up. And if we're talking about the 2020 bid, you got some major apologizing to do. Black women, like,
I know,
you know,
come on, Joe.
And you got Kamala Harris and Cory Booker over there. So, I mean, you got some work to do. And you're not going to win the election without black women. You're just not going to, you're not going to.
At this point, I just want any Democrat. Come on. Get your act together, guys.
On Biden's note, though, I will say he did help with the Violence Against Women Act. You know,
good.
And people do grow and change and grow and evolve. And so I'm not holding his feet to the fire because, you know,
he said he apologized. You know,
very
and he
true.
Owes her an apology. A lot of people don't even go that far.
And a genuine apology, not like sorry if you were offended by the confirmation.
Yeah, no, he was like, I was wrong. I should have done better.
Yeah. You know, when I was doing research for this podcast, I came up from a quote from someone, and you guess who it was?
Who?
My cousin Chardonnay Madkins was quoted in The Root last year.
Yes, I love
in
it.
This article about Anita Hill, my cousin Chardonnay Madkins has gone up debating against Betsy DeVos or Betsy DeVos or Betsy whatever the fuck ruining
Betsy,
our education.
Betsy, I hate
system.
Education.
Yes, and so my cousin Chardonnay, she's a project manager for the advocacy organization to end rape on campus, and she told the Los Angeles Times that in part black women are actually more reluctant than white women to report sexual harassment because of patriarchal norms that center the societal struggles of black men over those of black women.
Mm-hmm. Snap, snap, snap to your cousin, because that is the truth.
She also went on to say it tells these black women to remain silent because the education of their perpetrator is essentially more important than their education, and talking about in terms of college when it happens in like a college setting, and that they can't be another person who sends a black man to jail, that these are these are the few black men who were able to make it to college, and you're trying to report them is going to hinder their success. So talking about it in a college setting is what she's supposed to be talking about. But you could also see it, like, again, I could put that into, like, what Anita Hill was going up against.
That's exactly what Anita Hill was going up against. Like, we put so much stress on black women. Mm-hmm. Like, we want them to be our saviors, and then we want them to be perfect.
Yep.
And we tone police them all the time. I know this because I am a black woman.
And you're speaking it from experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's fuck. Let us live. Let us be regular. Let us like live our lives and speak our truths. And something that's been really irritating me lately is the lack of support from straight black men.
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be more support, and we need to be seen less as saviors. I mean, poor Michelle Obama, like, just recently the fucking Childish Gambino video showed it's all these it's cartoon of all these like hip hop artists for over the summer, mm-hmm. and it shows them doing whatever wackadoo stuff, and Kanye is shown wearing a Make America Great Again hat crying, and then Michelle Obama comes out of nowhere to hug him. What is she doing there? She never did that. Yeah. Like, why do we have to put black women constantly, even in our own productions? Childish Gambino, you're a black man. Why do you have to put us in a mothering type of way? Mm-hmm. And it's like, just let black women be black women.
Yep.
And believe us when we say something's not wrong and that we're not here to destroy or take down anybody.
Yep.
Believe us.
I want to get to one last quick point about what we can actually do. And
yes, hopeful.
Here's the thing. There is an article that New York Magazine did mm-hmm. by Alaska attorney. I think she was the writer of this piece. She's involved in it. Her name is Moira Smith. And mm-hmm. the article is called The Case for Impeaching Clarence Thomas.
Oh.
Yes. So she was at a dinner party with him like 19 or 20 years ago. And she mm-hmm. wrote a detailed story in the National Law Journal about her allegation of butt squeezing that Clarence Thomas did to her.
Ew. Why is he such a perv? Yuck.
And so this is like as he's already been confirmed. And so this,
right.
What story was corroborated by her roommates wow. at the dinner party. And it was, it came out at the same time as the James Comey letter when he reopened the investigation of Hillary Clinton and the email probe. So the story came out, then fucking James Comey comes around.
It.
And God, that fucking James Comey guy, man.
I know.
Ruined life.
He ruined it.
So many things. This is another thing that he ruined. So here's the thing about the case for impeaching Clarence Thomas. He mm-hmm. lied under oath. So there's that. At the hearings, he lied because she was telling the truth. So everything that he said, that's a lie. So it's illegal. That's an impeachable offense.
Yes.
And judges have been impeached, not just Supreme Court judges, but judges have been impeached for such acts. Many other women have also, like I said, there are other women who can corroborate the stories of Anita Hill. There's other women who had experienced crazy sex talk that he had done, the sexual harassment, essentially, and could have been subpoenaed. That there are, again, folks of Biden's staff say that they had been called in. If they had been, folks told Biden's staff that they had been called in and sworn in, they would have corroborated these stories.
Wow.
That there is evidence that Clarence Thomas perjured himself during his hearings, and the evidence is overwhelming. They didn't call the right witnesses. It wasn't a fair case. It wasn't a fair corroboration to really get all the facts out there. Didn't do a good job there. In fact, apparently there was an email that one of the emails that was found in Hillary Clinton's emails. I know we're talking about her emails. I'm sorry, but there was one email that was found that was that Clinton said that she wanted to be debriefed on the evidence that Thomas lied in order to be confirmed to his lifelong seat on the court. So it's possible that Hillary Clinton was going to look into that.
Wow.
Because that would have given her another person to be able to appoint while she was
in office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Fascinating.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's more, but it's going long, but we'll just kind of cut off that. There is an article that I'm going to link that Anita Hill wrote that was in regards to Harvey Weinstein. And
ooh, I would love it.
Yeah. Yeah. She says that this is really the story of the everyday woman, the lessons we learn from this through the lens of an industry that craves publicity but loathes transparency can and must be applied more broadly throughout American society. And she comments on how similar things are happening in the tech industry, in the business worlds, that there's all these settlements that are happening outside and there's no one to comment or stop this behaviors. And she gets letters on the regular about sexual harassment in the workplace all the time from different industries, churches, charities, politics, businesses, dance teams.
Wow. That's amazing. She was definitely that article. I'm glad that you're going to link that because that's something to read her own words from.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also she was interviewed on John Oliver's show during the whole, when hashtag Me Too popped up last year. John Oliver tapped her. So if you want to see that, I'll try and find that video to link it to.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of her answers is she talks about just diversifying leadership. I'll leave us with this. She said, it's been, you know, 26 years since a public conversation on sexual harassment began following my testimony. Despite a generation growing up hearing that sexual harassment is unacceptable, it clearly remains a plague. And I think there's things that we could do about it. We can call up our senators and be like, Clarence Thomas, we need to, like, we can, the election's coming around. We can get that man impeached. He is terrible in terms of, like, what he's voted on in the Supreme Court. He has a terrible voting
record.
So, and he lied. Get that man out.
Get out of here.
He's a
trash.
Sexual harassment offender. And we're just, and he's just been sitting there, in a criminal and a crook, just sitting in plain sight in this very, very high position. And it's time to get him out.
Get him out. Fuck. Clean house.
Yeah.
Peach him all.
Okay. Except for RBG.
Yeah. No. I mean, no. Impeach the trash that's in there right now. So, like, Thomas, Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Pence.
The little elf guy.
Yeah, Sessions. Mm-hmm. Yuck.
Yeah,
but, you know, we need to keep Sonia Sotomayor. We
need to keep
RBG.
Oh, yeah.
We need to keep, you know,
yeah,
the good people.
Yeah. Well, Anita Hill, thank you for all your amazing work. We salute you. And let's get a statue
salute you
in your honor.
Please.
Listen, we already know that you love genre movies, film craft, and female filmmakers. So, if you love all those things, then by transitive property, you love my podcast, Switchblade Sisters. Hi, I'm film critic April Wolf. Every week, I have a conversation with a different female filmmaker about their favorite genre film. Each episode covers the filmmaking process, working in the film industry, and just, like, general geeking out about awesome movies. I've had such great guests like the Big Sick writer Emily Gordon.
To me, indie movies as of late have come to be a catch-all term for a movie that kind of defies genre.
Billy Madison and Half-Baked director Tamara Davis.
When a comedian comes and enters onto my set, they're just there to be funny, and we're all ready and waiting for them to be funny.
Horror industry veteran and actor Barbara Crampton.
That's where real drama lies for me. What's between you and I speaking right now? Where are we meeting? And what's the energy that we create between us?
And so many others. So check out Switchblade Sisters every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, closing up this episode, we're going to put my corner next week.
Yes.
I'm going to be talking a little.
Anita Hill ran a little long, but she needed to.
You know, we needed to talk about it, you know?
We've
been doing, like, extended corner episodes, and it's been working out.
And that way you don't get too overwhelmed with too much information. You can just sit on that Anita Hill. And go watch Confirmation.
Yes. Next week, just as a little teaser.
Ooh, a teaser! I love a teaser.
I'm going to do a little talking about baseball. Baseball season is full in effect, and I want to do a little bit of history of baseball involving tropical islands, Negro League, and a dictator. Yes.
What? That sounds riveting.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. Come back next week.
Coming back next week. A little teaser. Aneke, you know how we have HBO Go?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have HBO.
Oh, I have HBO. Oh, jeez. She's just one-upping me. She's like, I have it live. You know how I love me. I love watching Black excellence on TV. There's so much options.
Yes.
I don't have to, like,
we're flushing it right now.
Yeah, it's not the 90s anymore. It's like, I guess I have to watch this white show. But you
the
know,
the 90s
were
actually pretty good about black shows.
That's true.
Early 2000s.
2000s, yeah.
Yes.
2000s, like, oh, more shows about white people.
Where did we go?
Disappeared. Bush saw to that. I was, you know, you hear all these buzzes about, you know, these shows, and if it's, like, you're starring white people and people are buzzing about it. And, like, after a while, I'm like, okay, let me go check this out.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first episode, and my stomach is, I'm about to throw up. I watched the first episode of Sharp Objects, and I just was like, I can't.
Oh, I watched all of it. I liked it.
I just, I.
It's not for you.
the black maid, I just couldn't handle it.
I mean, the whole thing is... Very, they talk to her. She that's unpacked a little bit.
Because I only saw the first episode. Her only line was, do you want some eggs?
Yeah, because it's fucked up. It's about the society that's fucked up. And they talk about the Confederacy in there and how it's all twisted. And like, you know, it's, I'm not defending it, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I also feel a little torn about it for other things because I do feel like they kind of glamorize self-harm, but maybe not. I don't know, because I don't do self-harm, so I wouldn't know what the experience is.
Yeah.
True, it would have been nice if there was more black people in it, but also it is a town that is very much... It would have felt... I don't know. It would have felt inauthentic to me.
I do hear that, because I Googled that town. Doesn't exist. But the... Yeah. To see like what the demographics of it is, but there is a town in Pennsylvania called Wind Gap that is like, I think it's like 92% white. So if like, so based on the demographics, because I also just finished watching Ozark, and it's a lot of white people in that show too, but I also look at the demographics and it's like, okay, like that is the demographics of that area. But on one end, I'm like, can't we put it in a town that I just, I guess they feel like there's just so many white people on TV that it's just hard for me to, I guess I feel guilty sometimes, like watching these shows when there's other shows where I could be watching that have more of a presence and also like include me in the conversation. I just feel so ousted, and it's like my same problem with The Handmaid's Tale, I guess, when they were like, this is a story about women, but it's like, is it not all women, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I hear your point. I definitely do. I do feel like more stories need to be told, and I am glad that, you know, HBO is spending money on like the Insecures and the LeBron James's new show that's coming up.
And but, what's the other one that they have? It's an artsy show.
Oh yeah, it's, yeah. I don't remember the name of it, but it looks super artsy.
I met a guy who was in it. It's called Being Fabulous and Black or something about it. It's like, it's driving me crazy.
It's out there. Everybody listening is shouting it right now. But I do feel, I mean, not to be like, and I don't want to feel like that I'm like going against being a black person by enjoying something like Sharp Objects, you know? Like, I just feel like it was an interesting tone poem of a show that I found interesting, and I don't know.
Can I ask you this, though? I guess, like, my thing is, like, and I already know that, like, the black maid doesn't have, like, I think it's an every time I see that when it's presented, I mean, it's to me, it's an opportunity in 2018, and I know the conversation isn't about the black maid, but I think that, like, if you're gonna have her, I just say, like, do something different with her, or give agency.
She doesn't have agency, but she definitely plays a part in it. Like, they talk to her, like... She gets asked, why did she stay a maid? Why is she still there? Like, because the mother who she's been a maid to for so long is so terrible. And they kind of talk about the how if you're a black person in that area, you either work in the pig farm or you're domestic help, which is the truth for a lot of black people. And I thought that was an interesting point. To me, it very much tells the story of a southern town that's really small and divided in class. And they even show some Latinx people where the Latinx town is. It felt real to me.
Okay.
You know? And it's a slow thing that you have to kind of watch for it to unravel so you get all that picture, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, I would like more diversity in my television shows. But that one, I wouldn't necessarily... Like, I'm more mad at a Sex in the City than I am that show. You know what I mean? Okay. Because, like, a Sex in the City takes place in New York, is totally fluff, is totally light. You could have different races and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Whereas this show was very much steeped in the culture of it being a borderline southern town with weird Confederate stories and class and race playing a huge part into it.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. But I do get, though, like, watching it and checking out because you're like, I'm not involved in this shit.
It made my stomach turn. And I guess, like, it was just, like, the have seen, it reminded me of, like, the black mammy, and it was just, like, the main, and, like, oh, do I need to have to, like, I was like, is this story for me? Like, do I need to, you know, see this again? My ancestors were house slaves, you know? Like,
I know, but a piece of me feels like that's life for a lot of black people still.
I guess I would like to see a story then that is like focusing on, I would love to see her story. You know, I'd love to see more stories about like what that life is, or, yeah. You know, I don't know, do a Downton Abbey style that shows, you know, both sides of it.
Right. I get you. But I am here to say that I don't think that she's left without a voice.
Okay, well, thank you for that, because now literally my stomach was... And I guess I just, like, it's one of those shows that, like, I guess it makes me mad when I know that, like, people, like, there's white folks who, you know, there's all the talk, the buzzy shows, and it's, like, starring white people, and they all watch that, but it's, like, they don't watch the black shows or the Latino shows, and that just, like, it irks my nerves. It's, like, oh, and if I'm, like, oh, I haven't seen that show that all the white people are talking about, they look at me like I'm crazy, and I'm, like, well... Are you watching Blackish?
Well,
like, are you watching
Insecure?
Hang out
with other people. Are you watching? They need to be watching other things. Because
I'm just saying that I get bothered by it, and it's annoying to me. That's
okay.
All.
Yeah, yeah, valid, completely. Yeah, you know, I mean, there definitely needs to be more, like the new fucking
Random Acts of Flyness. Sorry, just hit me. Oh, Random Acts of Flyness. That's what it's about. That's okay. What that black show that's out.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, right on.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, do we have... Oh, I want to say a big shout out to everybody who tweeted at us last week and didn't spoil the episode.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That's awesome. Tell people about it. I was really proud of that corner that I did.
For last week?
Yeah, so, you know, share it out. I really feel like, you know, black maternal mortality is something that needs to be discussed and truly understood.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All the snaps to you guys. We hear you. I saw all the tweets. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you. And you can always get involved in the conversation by tweeting at us at Minority Corner with a K. And we're on Facebook.
Yes. We have the Corner Kids Playground. Join it. People are talking, sharing different articles, having their own side discussion. So if you want to talk...
Huh. I thought you said people were talking shit. I was like, what?
No,
what they saying?
I didn't say that. No. But, like, if you want to have an area where you can talk about things that we talk, like, that types of topics that we talk about that we don't talk about on the podcast, people are doing that there. So that's definitely a place to check out.
Yeah. And we are also writing reviews is so helpful. We are on, you can write a review on iTunes. If you're listening to this on your podcast app, there's a way that you can do it right through your app. So it's right there at your fingertips. And writing reviews always helps people to be able to see us. We love the reviews and we love hearing from you as well. And you can also email us at minoritycorner@gmail.com. And you can ask us anything and we'll read it here on the show and answer your burning, hot, hot desire of a question.
Thank you guys for your reviews. It like really warms my heart to like see those reviews. I really appreciate all of you that have taken the time out to do that, taken the time out to tweet us, taken the time out to engage with other listeners. Like we hear you, we see you, and like, I mean, I do this for you guys. So thank you.
We do it for you. And it's great to hear from you all and get that positive feedback or just that feedback in general. And also we know there's so many choices that you guys have to listen to in the podcasting world. There's like 500,000 podcasts. Woof. And you choose to listen to us. We're so honored by that.
Yeah. Thanks guys. We really appreciate it.
Well, and thank you to Woody for our wonderful editor and
thanks,
to
Woody.
Brownout for supplying us with the wonderful music.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together, we're the majority.
We are the majority.
All right. Bye guys. Y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.